Jalal al-Din Muhammad Rumi. No, you did not just get transported to one of our brothers and sisters' churches in the Middle East. Jalal al-Din Muhammad Rumi, better known simply as Rumi, was a Sufi Persian Muslim poet and mystic. He wrote during the 13th century in what is now Iran, Iraq, and Syria, and part of Turkey. Sufism is a particularly mystical form of Islam. It was very likely influenced by Christian faith communities that still existed in that part of the world after the Arab invasions. Perhaps its best known expression, at least to us in the West, are the whirling dervishes, people who work themselves into a mystical trance through a type of dance. If you've ever been to Istanbul, there are no shortage of advertisements to go and visit and see it happen. Rumi's writings are rich, they are complex, they're wonderful. And often they show that Christian influence, which likely influenced the beginning of Sufism. They are not particularly structured. They are often quite wandering. They very much reflect Rumi's own life, one of wandering and wondering and meeting people. Among his writings is the following. Whatever comes, comes from a need, a sore distress, a hurting want. Mary's pain made the baby Jesus. Her womb opened its lips and spoke the word. Every part of you has a secret language. Your hands and your feet say what you have done. Let me read that again. Whatever comes, comes from a need, a sore distress, a hurting want. Mary's pain made the baby Jesus. Her womb opened its lips and spoke the word. Every part of you has a secret language. Your hands and your feet say what you have done. Now, you might find it strange that I am quoting a Muslim poet and mystic, particularly when speaking about the Virgin Mary. But on this day, this fourth Sunday of Advent, I find it most appropriate. In today's gospel, we hear the story of Mary visiting her relative Elizabeth. It is a sweet story. It's not meant to be taken as fact, but it speaks of a recognition that the child that Mary was carrying was something special, something unique, something that would change the world. It is in this context that Mary sings what we know as the Magnificat, or the Song of Mary. Now, Peter did not read it as part of the gospel. Instead, we sang it in place of the psalm. But in the Gospel of Luke, it actually immediately follows what Peter just read. The Magnificat is a hymn, almost certainly having predated the rest of the Gospel of Luke. It was likely a familiar part of the liturgical life of the early Christian community that gave rise to Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. In this hymn, in this poem, in this song, Mary speaks of her joy. She talks of her awareness of God choosing her, a poor girl from a backwater village in the hill country of the Galilee. And as the hymn continues, she expands that narrative of salvation from her to others, to all of the people of Israel. Our Orthodox sisters and brothers call Mary Theotokos, We can roughly translate that into English as God-bearer. It is a name that speaks to the role of Mary as being the one who bore God the Son. Not simply Mary, the mother of Jesus, but Mary, the one who gave birth to the incarnate God. Now, I'm a gay man. I'm a priest who has utterly no medical training. And so before I get too far here, I want to quote those immortal words of Prissy from Gone with the Wind. I don't know nothing about birthing babies. But what I have been told by friends and loved ones is the combination of pain and joy that comes with childbirth. Rumi, in his poetry, is speaking of that very pain. It is through Mary's pain that she gives birth to Jesus, the incarnate Word. In fact, to bear God, God the ultimate joy, Mary goes through horrific pain. Mary's vocation as the mother of Jesus and the bearer of God is not hers alone. It is the vocation of all of us who love God, who love Jesus, who are the church. We speak of the church as the body of Christ. Yet we don't often actually consider what that means, the implications of that. If we are the body of Christ, then we are Christ incarnate. We are Christ's hands and heart in this world. We are Christ in this world. And it is through us that God in Christ is known. We are, each and every one of us, as individuals, as communities, as the people of God, we are the bearers of God. And the ability to bear God, to be theotokos, well, that comes not from strength, not from power, not from privilege, not from wealth. No, it comes from pain. Carl Jung, a father of modern psychology, spoke of the wounded healer. That concept that the analyst can help others because of her or his own pain. It is also an image used by the Christian writer Henri Nouwen. He wrote a book of that same name. As Mary's pain gave birth to the baby Jesus and to the joy that it brought into the world, so our pain allows us to give birth to God in our lives. See, we can change the world. We, as God's hands and heart, can change the world. We can do so because we have known pain in this creation, and also because we have known the joy of God's redemption. We can change lives not because we are better than anyone else, or more powerful than anyone else, or more holy than anyone else. No, we can change lives because we can see ourselves in the other. We can love our neighbor, as frustrating as neighbors sometimes can be. We can love our neighbor because we understand what we share. We can love our enemy because we can claim our common humanity. We can forgive others because we have been forgiven. This season of Advent, this season that is drawing to a close, these 4 weeks in preparation for Christmas, this Advent is a season of waiting and preparation. It is both waiting and preparation for the celebration of Christmas, the birth of the Christ child 2,000 years ago. And it is a season of waiting and preparation for Jesus' second coming at the end of time. Well, maybe it's a little less waiting and a little bit more preparation. For we are called to prepare for that coming, whenever that coming may be. We are called to build up that kingdom of God, that reign of heaven on earth. We are called to help create the world that ought to be in the midst of the world that is. And we are called to bear God to each other, to bear God to strangers, to bear God to the principalities and powers of this world, to bear God in all that we do until that God comes again. We are called, day in and day out, in every choice we make, in every relationship we have, we are called to change the world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.